Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm excited to be here, and I'm excited to see you all. This is an exciting time we have. We call it the Advent season. And we know that we have a sermon series called Stargazing, where Jeff kicked it off with Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then last week, we heard from Pastor Jaime, who talked about the genealogy of Jesus. That in alone in itself is exciting. There's just so much in that genealogy that God chose to be born out of that line, yet was able to redeem that line. As if we have him, he can redeem us. Today, I get to speak about a man we know very little about. It's Joseph. Joseph, the husband of Mary, the mother of Jesus. This sermon series highlights God's awesome power in his creation of everything to his greatest gift to us, the Savior of the world. Next week, Pastor Jeff will be talking about our Savior, Jesus Christ. So in summary, our sermon series is the stars in the heaven to the one true star, Jesus Christ. Today, I want to talk about what it takes to be the right person for the job, about a person's character, and what defines the character of a person. So let's do this by examining the scriptures and see what gives us a little glimpse and the insight of who Joseph was. Please turn to Matthew 1:18. In your pew Bibles, that is page 933. This passage gives us Joseph's side of what happened before the miraculous birth of Jesus. Please read with me, starting in verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph awoke, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Looking at this passage, I would like to point out a few characteristics of Joseph that we can see. First, Joseph was a righteous man, and his heart was aligned with God. Righteousness is defined as a quality of being morally right or justifiable. To the Hebrews, this meant being obedient to the law. As we see in verse 19, it states, he was a righteous man. God does not just call Joseph a righteous man. He has called others righteous too. Let's look at one example. It says Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. We find that in Genesis 15, 6. It also states in Romans 4 and shows us that there are two types of righteousness. One is righteousness by the law. But the other and greater righteousness, the one that saves, is the righteousness by faith. Now let's look. In Joseph's point of view, before he had the dream, he was betrothed to Mary. Now in Jewish tradition, when a man and a woman were betrothed, they were legally married. The only difference is they didn't live together or sleep together. This betrothal period was for about a year. This is so the man could go and prepare a place for his bride so they both could live. So let's picture Joseph is getting ready. He's away preparing a place for him and his wife. Now at this time, the betrothal, we can basically compare to an engagement, but it's not. Why? Because it was legally binding marriage. They refer to each other as husband and wife. So now back to Joseph preparing a place for his wife. He must have been excited. But then he comes to find out that she's with child. This must have been devastating, if nothing else. I can't imagine how he must have felt. But he decided to think more of Mary and the child she now carried than he did of himself. This was a selfless act. But he did much, much more than that. For Joseph must have been deeply wounded. He must have been hurt. So Joseph, being hurt, decided not to hurt back. Instead, he thought of how Mary would live and how she could raise the baby. For the law states that Joseph should publicly divorce Mary for what he believed she did. That would have meant she could have been stoned to death. But Joseph, being a righteous man, put Mary and the child before his own feelings and his own status. For it says in verse 19, he was going to divorce her quietly. This would have meant to others that he was not fully blameless. It would have let people wonder, and this meant his character would have been tainted. People would have believed that he could not have waited to sleep with his wife before the proper time. This was a shameful thing to do in their culture. Yet Joseph put Mary's circumstance, as he knew it, before his circumstance, which would have been much worse for him than if he publicly divorced her. Again, we see Joseph aligning with God's will. For God says mercy is greater than sacrifice. We find that in Hosea 6, 6. The second characteristic that I would like to point out in this passage was Joseph was a considerate man, a man whose heart was aligned with God. It says considerate is to be thoughtful towards other people, kind. Well, Joseph was more than just kind. Joseph had special consideration for Mary and her situation as he then knew it. Again, Joseph must have been deeply devastated when he found out his wife was pregnant with someone else's child. It must have been very painful. Yet after considering these things, Joseph chose not to hurt her, even though he was hurt. But we know God had other plans. He wanted Joseph to be part of his son's life.
So God sent an angel to deliver a message. The angel came to Joseph in a dream. Yet for Mary, the angel came in person. Yet we know when Joseph woke up, with no clear validation, he obeyed God and took Mary home as his wife and took the baby as his own in every way that he could. To the world at that time, for all but a few would have believed Jesus was the son of Joseph. And by doing this, legally, Joseph put Jesus in the Davidic line. Yet we know in Luke 3 that through Mary's bloodline, Jesus was the heir to the throne of King David, where he reigns forever and ever. Would you like God to send you a message? Yes. Would you like God to send you an angel? Yeah. How about an angel in a dream? I know I would like any one of those, for I've learned not to try to do it my way. God can send his message any way he pleases and chooses to speak, the way he wants to speak to me or to you. What I do know is God has sent messengers to all of us with a message for us. And that is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. For that is God's own words. We have the ability to pick up this Bible and to hear from God directly anytime we want. We do not have to wait to be asleep. Nor should we be asleep. So we should read our Bibles as often as possible. We should study the Bible as often as possible. And we should share the Word of God as often as possible. In summary, Joseph was a righteous man, a man that was obedient to God. Whatever the angel of God said, Joseph did. Moreover, he was a man of consideration of others before himself. He had a good heart and was willing to show mercy to Mary by doing the right thing and not turning Mary over to the force of the law. This is a crucial part of the characteristic of Joseph, the man God chose for the job. Joseph's heart was aligned with God, and therefore he was able to partner with God. And he raised his son, the Son of God. So are you willing to partner with God's will in your life? For obeying God can come with a cost, even one's own life. Are you willing to follow Christ and obey his word, not knowing what it might cost you? For following God can expose us to pain or other troubles in this world. It says in 2 Timothy 3:12, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. So again, the question is, are you willing? I'd like to tell you a story about a man named Angus McGilvery. He was a Scottish prisoner in World War II in one of the Japanese prison camps filled with Americans, Australians, and Britons. He was one who helped build the infamous bridge over the River Kwai. This camp had become an ugly place in dog-eat-dog mentality, where the law of the jungle prevailed, until the news of Angus's death spread through the camp. For he was a strong man, and everyone thought he would have been one of the last to die. Angus had a buddy that all thought were going to die. So everyone gave up on him, of course, except for Angus. He had made up his mind they would not let his friend die. Now, in this camp, people stole from each other. They stole from his buddy right out from under him. He was going to die. Let's take his stuff so we can live. They stole his blanket, his shelter. So Angus gave him his own shelter. He said, "Don't worry, I've come across an extra one." Likewise, every mealtime, he brought his rations to his buddy, stood over him, and forced him to eat the food. Kept saying, "Don't worry, I have some for myself." Until one day, his buddy was getting better and would live. And then Angus fell over and died. The doctors discovered that he had died of starvation, complicated by exhaustion. Paul writes to us, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others." Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Angus had been given his food, his shelter. He had given everything he had for his friend, even his life. The ramifications of this act of love, unselfish kindness, had started to impact the prison camp. For Jesus tells us, "Greater love has no man than this, that man lay down his life for his friends." John 15, 12. As word spread throughout the camp of why and how Angus died, people started to focus on each other and humanity of living became survival again. They began to pool their talents together. There was one, a violin maker, a orchestra leader. Another was a cabinet maker, another a professor. Soon the camp had an orchestra full of homemade instruments and a church called the Church Without Walls. That was so powerful and so compelling that even the Japanese guards started to attend. When all hope was lost, things turned around and there was hope again. Love was revived, all because of a man named Angus who gave all he had to a friend. This is an awesome illustration of what one man's sacrifice can do. He did not know that it would change the camp. This meant survival to others who had lost all hope. As the worship team comes back up, I would like you to think about something. About being considerate to others and thinking of others at this time of year, especially. This is the season for giving, as we all know it, as the world knows it. We know the season of giving is every day. But for the world, we need to show it. For God has given us his one and only Son, so that we may have eternal life with him. Paul also writes, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus." Philippians 2, 5. And I would like to say, it's time to stop thinking someone else will do it and start to think about, it's time I will do it. There are many things we can do. Brothers and sisters, this is our family here. This is our home. For example, in Living Christ here, we can serve on the diaconate. We can serve one another. We can serve in the nursery. We can serve in the children's ministry, the youth group. We can serve on the worship team. And if you're like me, musically inclined, you can serve in the sound team. Then we can hear it the way we want. So seriously, if you want to serve here at Living Christ Church, we warmly welcome you to do that. We strongly encourage you to do that. Come see one of us in any ministry, anyone, and we will help you get connected. But more so, there are many, many more ways that we can serve our community out there. The soup kitchen, church Sunday dinners. But what I want to encourage you to do is to think how I can do this. And start thinking about how I can serve someone else. Pay for a meal. Help someone lift up groceries. Shovel their driveway. There are many, many, I can tell you many, many things. I know that the thoughts should be coming to your minds. A little act of kindness can go a long way. When a greater act of kindness can go farther than we can even imagine. Jesus said in Matthew 20:28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Let us go out and serve others. And lastly, I've always wondered about Joseph's eulogy, but we don't have one. We don't even know when he died. Besides the few verses in the Bible, that's all we know about Joseph. But in those verses, we can see some of the characteristics and why he was the right man for the job. Joseph had an opportunity to partner with God, and he did. Would you like to partner with God? You have an opportunity today to partner with God. For God has demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. So, go. God has done his part. And now it's up to us to do our part. Thank you and God bless.